car repair bill due to your budget. It's easy to have repair bills for thousands of dollars. If your car is less than 10 years old and has less than 130... What would a $3,000 car repair bill do to your budget? It's easy to have repair bills for thousands of dollars. If your car is less than 10 years old and has less than 130,000 miles, 5-Star Auto Protection can pay for the repairs that your auto insurance won't cover. Did you know that the average mechanic charges $120 per hour? Towing in a rental car will add at least $200 more to that bill. For less than $100 a month, for less than 1 hour of labor, our vehicle protection plan can cover all your major components, including computers and electronics, and also pay for towing, rental, and even roadside assistance for flats, lockouts, or when you run out of gas. If your manufacturer warranty is about to expire, or if you have no warranty coverage at all, give us 10 minutes and learn how we can help eliminate costly repair bills. Call us now. Call 888-449-7388. 888-449-7388. 888-449-7388. Plans unavailable in all states for all vehicles. See agreement for complete terms.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare with your children being raised by someone else? With our free information, you can lead a less stressful life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was about to be laid off from a company that was going bankrupt. On top of that, I wanted my kids to have mommy care, not daycare. My first month, I made $1,000 part-time. After 90 days, I was home with my children. And for the past 7 years, I've been here for my three little girls. I love this business.
Go to freedom225.com. Get out of the rat race and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I was skeptical. However, I had to get out of corporate America. Both me and my wife were able to quit our jobs and now make over $10,000 a month from home.
Go to freedom225.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 225.com. Freedom225.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
Hey everybody, this is Maggie, and my show, The Unsolicited Opinion, can be heard here on AM 1360 WNJC every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. You know, Barack Obama wants to redistribute the wealth. Well, I disagree. I think you need to earn what you get in life. So join me, because I'm going to be redistributing the truth one word at a time on The Unsolicited Opinion here on WNJC
1360. People who say that if you debate and you disagree with this administration, somehow you're not patriotic, and we should stand up and say we are Americans and we have a right to debate and disagree with any administration.
Hey everybody, this is Maggie, and welcome to The Unsolicited Opinion. How you doing tonight? Listen, I've got another great guest lined up as usual, but I want to give you some contact information first. You can always reach me on my website, which is three words, TheUnsolicitedOpinion.com. Again, that is TheUnsolicitedOpinion.com. Now, we are experimenting with our technology here at the radio station, and so we're going to be able to take callers tonight. So if you'd like to join this conversation, the number for you to call is 856-227-1360. That's 856-227-1360. Now, you know, my show is always heard on Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock, and it is also heard on Sundays on another station that is micro1650am.com. These are all Eastern Standard Times. And you can also hear my show daily. It's replayed on NetTalk World at 4 o'clock and on TalkStream Live. Now, I tell you this every week, and I feel like I'm beating a dead horse, but of course, you have to have money to pay for airtime. There is no free lunch in life, so I am always looking for sponsors, and I am always looking for advertisers of my show. So if you know some people who are interested in the truth, and you know that I am certainly a fan of free speech and I am a fan of the truth, then please send them my way. Have them contact me on my website, theunsolicitedopinion.com. Tell them I will make them an offer they cannot refuse. Now, I don't know who made you any deals this week, but nobody is going to make you a better deal than I will on advertising time. So it's well worth your while because I have all kinds of listeners, not just here locally in the Philadelphia, Jersey region, but I actually have listeners who listen to me all over the states and as well as other countries in the world. So, hey, it's worthwhile for you to give me a call and maybe we can work something out. Now, I wanted to read something because I think it's so critical. My guest that's on tonight is going to be talking about education. She is a very brilliant woman with an extensive background. But I wanted to talk about something that Cicero had said in 43 BC because I think it is so relevant, and it's very relevant to what we're going to be talking about in our educational system. Cicero said, "A nation can survive its fools and even the ambitious, but it cannot survive treason from within. An enemy at the gates is less formidable because he is known and carries his banner openly. But the traitor moves among those within the gates freely, his sly whispers rustling through all the alleys, heard in the halls of government itself. For the traitor appears not a traitor. He speaks in accents familiar to his victims, and he wears their garments. And he appeals to the baseness that lies deep in the hearts of all men. He rots the soul of a nation. He works secretly and unknown in the night to undermine the pillars of a city. He infects the body politic so that it can no longer resist. A murder is less to be feared." You know, that's so relevant because everything that's going on in our country today is designed to undermine our nation. And it is happening in our educational system, and those people truly who are implementing this, they really are traitors to this nation, because if you're undermining the children and you're responsible for molding the minds, or I should say unleashing the minds, I don't want to say molding, because actually that's what they're doing, and we don't want them to mold them. We want them to unleash their potential, and that's not what is happening. So in my mind, the people who are responsible for this, they are traitors to this nation if they are not doing what they should be doing ethically and morally for the betterment of our society, and they need to have, children need to be educated to be participants in a free and democratic society. So now listen, let me introduce who my guest is going to be tonight, and then we're going to go to a short break, and then I'm going to bring my guest back on. My guest this evening is Beverly Ekman. In fact, she just told me I've been pronouncing her name wrong all along, but it is Beverly Ekman. You can reach her on her website, that is beverlye.com. Now, she's recently written a book which is entitled Common Sense Platform for the 21st Century, and we're going to talk about that a little bit, but let me tell you who Beverly Ekman is. She calls herself education's whistleblower, and I'll tell you, I love people who are a fan of telling the truth and telling people like it is, and Beverly Ekman is indeed one of those individuals, and so we're very lucky to have her as a citizen of the United States and somebody who's on our team. She is an educator. She is an author of numerous books. She was the chief speechwriter for Chief Justice Warren E. Burger. She's written many articles, and she was also the executive director of the National Education Consortium. So Beverly is a very, very knowledgeable individual and knows all kinds of stuff about what's going on in our educational system in this country. And since the mad dash for MASH today seems to be everyone is heralding let's have kids go to charter schools as somehow that's the magic bullet, that's the solution to all the problems that plague our educational system, and I don't think that that's necessarily going to be what Beverly has to say about charter schools. So let's do this. We're going to go to break real quick. And if you want to get in on this conversation tonight, the number to call is 856-227-1360. And you can also shoot an email my way, Maggie@theunsolicitedopinion.com. So let's go to break real quick, and we will be back in about a minute and a half. So hang on, everybody.
What would a $3,000 car repair bill do to your budget? A vehicle protection plan from Five Star Auto Protection can save you thousands in repairs. Your auto insurance won't cover a $3,000 transmission repair, but we will. If your car has less than 130,000 miles, give us 10 minutes and learn how we can help eliminate costly car repair bills. Call us now. Call 888-449-7388. 888-449-7388. 888-449-7388. Plans not available in all states for all vehicles. See agreement for complete terms.
Attention business owners and individuals who owe the IRS. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? You need aggressive representation. Call Certified Tax now at 800-221-9442 and speak to one of our tax attorneys, enrolled agents, or tax professionals who specialize in tax liens, back taxes, tax debt, wage garnishment, and collections. We won't waste a minute helping you with your tax problems. We'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. We've settled millions of dollars of tax issues for a fraction of the cost. Find the peace of mind knowing the IRS will not be knocking on your door. Protect your home, business, and family today. We know the tax laws, and we act fast. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-221-9442. Remember, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. That's guaranteed. Call Certified Tax at 800-221-9442. That's 800-221-9442. Again, 800-221-9442.
So I'm true. I want you to cry. I want you to cry. I want you to cry. I want you to cry.
Hey, everybody, this is Maggie, and you are listening to The Unsolicited Opinion, and my website, if you want to contact me, is three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com. Again, that's theunsolicitedopinion.com. And I want to tell you quickly about a sponsor of my show that has been sponsoring my show for quite some time now, and that is a website that has focused on illegal immigration in this country, and that website is called Diggers Realm, as in digging in the dirt, diggersrealm.com, and they have really been digging in the dirt, actually, and finding out what the truth is about illegal immigration in this country. So if you want to know the truth and not the canned lies that are being disseminated by the mainstream media, then please go to diggersrealm.com. Check it out. You'll be glad that you did. Now, I'm so pleased to welcome Beverly Ekman to my show tonight. So, Beverly, how are you?
I'm fine. My pleasure to be on.
Oh, I'm always glad to have you on, Beverly. Now, I want to talk about a couple of things, but I want to talk about charter schools because, you know, that's so in the news nowadays. And here in Pennsylvania, there's a bill that's being proposed to give more money to kids under, financially deprived kids, more money so that they have choices to go to charter schools. And I know you and I have spoken, and I don't think charter schools are necessarily the magic bullet. So let's start with the Department of Education. How does the Federal Department of Education play a role in influencing what happens in our regular schools and what happens in charter schools?
Well, first of all, you've got money coming through to the charter schools, and it's federal money, and so in a way, it's a bait and switch type of operation. It's better than nothing, okay?
And
parents are lined up, of course, to get their kids in, but the problem is that, first of all, gains are not that real. When they were doing a study in 2009, I read an article, as a matter of fact, and Stanford said that charter schools fall short of expectations in comparison with so-called traditional public schools. And when I followed the hyperlink for the Washington Times, it said charter schools hit and miss in new report. And that was for real. I mean, you sometimes take Stanford, what they say, with a grain of salt, but this was not honestly the truth. And so you have to look at what was really considered a good exam, for example, say in geography. What is climate, or what is on what does climate depend? And that alone should give our nation's education policymakers a reality check. I wrote for the, I think it was for the New American, this article, and I found an old 1895 eighth grade final exam on grammar and math and, of course, geography. And I put down what the actual questions were. And what's really funny is I was on a talk show with Buchanan, you know.
Yeah, Buchanan.
And, yeah, and he... And so I, and he had my opposite number on, a lefty, and then of course he had me on. And so I said, "All right, you guys, you went to a Jesuit school, and so I want to know what is climate, and what does climate depend upon? How do you account for the extremes of climate in Kansas? Of what use are rivers? What is the use of the ocean? Describe the mountains of North America. Name and describe the following: Monrovia, Odessa, Denver, Manitoba, Hecla." And I just kept going on like this, and there were major places. Name and locate the principal trade centers of the U.S. Name the republics of Europe and give the capital. Well, anyway, I just kept going down. And do you know that neither James Buchanan nor my opposite number, and I can't remember his name now, we just wound up laughing our heads off. You know, we were just dissolved in laughter because they could not answer any of these questions.
Sure, sure.
Well, that tells you where we are.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody on Facebook who's in San Diego, and I said, "You were going to be on my show today, and we were going to talk about charter schools." And she said that she had written to me that her granddaughter had graduated last year from one of the so-called better public schools in San Diego. And she said that she doesn't even know the first three words of the Constitution. She can't figure out how much a can of cat food costs when they are on sale for 10 for $4. But she said she can tell you everything about homosexuality, bisexuality, transgender, etc.
Mm-hmm. And recycling and all the rest. Yeah,
yeah,
the thing. It's all the trendy stuff, but nothing of substance, and this is going to get us sooner or later if it hasn't already gotten. Do you realize that if somebody set off one of these neutron bombs that knock out all your electronics but don't kill people?
Right.
Nobody would know how to can tomatoes.
Yeah, exactly.
We can't do anything.
No, it's very true. There is a big difference between how people were self-reliant and self-sufficient in the Great Depression and could survive extreme hardships, and
right,
how difficult that would be for people today to get through the day,
right,
because of such a lack of basic survival skills and knowledge.
Right. Well, actually, they have a course in schools called survival skills, but they sure don't relate to anything you and I would call survival. I mean, you know, it's like surviving STDs and surviving.
Oh, okay,
cancer.
Okay.
But they are not survival based.
Okay. Yeah, right. Well, what this woman continued to write to me is she said that her neighbor's child had graduated from a charter school, and she said she knows exactly the same thing. She said she can't even break down how many miles to a gallon she gets in her truck. So,
yeah,
she, you know, it doesn't seem to make any difference, the charter school or the public school.
No, it doesn't.
The outcome is really essentially the same.
Well, the tests are the same, too, and that was what I pointed out to on Pat Buchanan's radio show a few years ago, and it was really hilarious, and they got it, you know, when I got through. I've certainly won that debate, if you can call it a debate, but, you know, you talk about charter schools, and people, of course, want to get them in. I think only difference is they're a little more structured so that you don't have so many interruptions during the day and so many of the hooker chic dress and all that. You know, parents that are more serious about education will send their kids there. What they don't know, and, of course, they never see because they can't come in and just sit in a classroom, that's not allowed anymore, is what is actually being taught. And most of the, keep in mind, too, that most of the parents themselves are in their 20s and 30s. I mean, like they always been. Sometimes they were,
sure,
a little younger than that. But 20s and 30s, those were the kids I was teaching. That was the boomer, you know, I was the boomer, and they were the kids, you know, that I was teaching. And so now those people have grown up under a very chaotic system. And so a lot of these things don't seem odd to them, and they're completely out of their element.
Well, let me ask you a question. You know, I've heard of Workforce 2000, Goals 2000. I heard all of the debate over the No Child Left Behind because they were claiming they were teaching to the test and outcome-based education, school-to-work, race to the top. What are all those things, Beverly? Are they essentially the same, or what are they? What is Workforce 2000 and Goals 2000? What do those mean to a parent when they hear that term? What does that mean they're telling their kids or trying to teach their kids or not teaching?
Well, the PR is what you need to look at first. What the PR is on every single one of the Goals 2000, all the ones that you mentioned, is that they're going to present a substantive education, and they're going to concentrate on basics first and then go in, you know, everything is based on the basics. You know, you can't go forward until you've got that. That's the PR. The reality is that it's all the same trendy, touchy-feely garbage. And even worse than that, it's more psychological. The longer you went, it started out America 2000, I think, is what it was called. And then they went Goals 2000, then they went No Child Left Behind, and then, you know, it's Race to the Trough, I call it, not the top, but anyway.
Okay. Race to the top of the ditch, right?
Well, Race to the Trough, meaning the where the trough is the money bag.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
Money consumption. And really, that's what it basically is, because they all are dependent upon federal dollars. Well, what happens is when a parent complains, they first buy, oh, this is just a local thing. And then you find out, no, this is a state thing because the money passes through to some locals.
Okay.
And then when you complain to the state, they say, no, this is regional. And you find out, well, money is passed through to the state from the region. And then they say, no, it's federal. And so what you really find out is that the state education agency is really a clone, basically, for all intents and purposes, of the U.S. Department of Education. And let me tell you how many bureaus and offices are in the U.S. Department of Education. I finally did an organizational chart, and it took up my entire floor space of my office, which is rather large.
Right.
It took up around 8 by 10.
Wow.
By the time I pasted it together, and it wasn't in big letters either.
Right.
So that just to give you a hint of how many offices. They're all, and these, unfortunately, are now based in UNESCO. UNESCO is basically feeding its curriculum into American curriculum, meaning there is no American curriculum anymore. So anything to do with America is just like, you know, slapdash.
Define UNESCO for the people listening, Beverly, so they know what you're talking about.
United Nations Educational and Scientific Organization, which has nothing to do with education or science, but we'll leave that for now. But that is, it was established by the National Education Association, which is very leftist. I mean, it's almost card-carrying communist. That's a second thing to it. When they established it with the Carnegie Foundation for the Advancement of Teaching. Each of them contributed $20,000, which was quite a bit in the 1947. That's how UNESCO came to be. And so it was, but it was UN. It was absorbed into UN, and they understood that it would be. So now what you've got, basically, if it was really European education in the style of the International Baccalaureate way back when I took it, that was, in fact, they didn't call it the International Baccalaureate back in the 50s. They just called it the plain old vanilla baccalaureate. And the kids that went to my international schools, where the diplomats and everybody went in Washington, D.C., which made sense. You know, they had to go somewhere.
Sure.
And my parents were foreign extraction, and so I got into that school. And every subject was could be in any language. You just had to make do and figure it out, and that's, of course, what they do in Europe. which was very helpful. But it was very substantive, and if you didn't get it, you know, there was hell to pay, so to speak, for not getting it. So what they're based on now, though, the European education, including the international baccalaureate, is based on the Earth Charter. And I wrote an article on that, too, and it was called IB, see, International Baccalaureate, or IB, is UN on steroids.
Okay.
And that's what it is. It's the United Nations on steroids. I mean, it's pumping socialism. It is promoting socialism. I don't care if it's in math. I don't care if it's in history. I don't care if it's in science. I don't care if it's what it is. They're promoting socialism as the way of the future.
So all of the people who think they're going to send their kid to a charter school because this charter school claims that we're going to really focus on math and we're really going to focus on science and we need more engineers in this country, so we're
right.
going to focus on, you know, promoting the courses that would make one be able to go to a so-called institution of higher education or higher
mm-hmm.
learning and
Correct.
Be able to excel. So kids buy this propaganda, this PR, and they think that, well, I'm really going to get something. So what they get is a little safer environment, not as chaotic, mm-hmm. and, you know, probably parents are more involved. They want to make sure their kids get the best education. Doesn't any parent want their child to get the best education? Obviously, if a parent cares enough for their child, they certainly do. So here we've got these people clamoring for some alternative to public education. We've got the charter schools being bandied about. That's the answer. That's the solution. And in reality, it's just the same old stuff. It's going to be the same curriculum, the
yep.
same standards driven by the United Nations, the UNESCO, fed through our Department of Education, fed through the state, fed through to the local school district, and nothing's any different.
No. You've got it exactly. That's basically what it is. For now, you get a little less chaotic environment, and I you know, emphasize the for now part of it, because that isn't going to last long. And also, they have to, because they're receiving federal money, do this psychological testing stuff. And the psychological testing, understand, it isn't just psychological, it is political. Psychological testing has gone political.
Okay.
And if you don't understand that, you don't understand, I mean, people that hear about psychological testing think that they are going to screen for violent kids and, you know, get them away from the rest of the kids. No,
Beverly,
no, no, no,
hang
no.
on. On that note, hang on. Let's take a break real quick, and then we'll come back, and you can explain really what this psychological testing actually is for
okay.
people listening. So let's go to break real quick, and we'll be right back. Hang on, everybody.
$1,000 car repair bill due to your budget. It's easy to have repair bills for thousands of dollars. If your car is less than 10 years old and has less than 130,000 miles, Five Star Auto Protection can pay for your auto insurance won't cover. Did you know that the average mechanic charges $120 per hour? Towing in a rental car will add at least $200 more to that bill. For less than $100 a month, for less than 1 hour of labor, our vehicle protection plan can cover all your major components, including computers and electronics, and also pay for towing, rental, and even roadside assistance for flats, lockouts, or when you run out of gas. If your manufacturer warranty is about to expire, or if you have no warranty coverage at all, give us 10 minutes and learn how we can help eliminate costly repair bills. Call us now. Call 888-449-7388, 888-449-7388, 888-449-7388. Plans unavailable in all states for all vehicles. See agreement for complete terms.
We know you've heard millions of debt resolution commercials before, but I'll bet you've never heard one that says this. DebtSettlement.com is a simple matching service who understands the new regulations that have been passed to protect and benefit you. We'll connect you with companies who've committed to not charge you anything until they actually alter your debt and start saving you money. That's right. No debt fix, no fee. So while others out there are boasting about their great services, making all kinds of promises they can't keep, DebtSettlement.com keeps it simple and to the point. The companies we work with have committed to not charging you a penny unless they can actually make changes to your debt and what you owe. Look, if you've got more than $10,000 in debt, you've probably called a bunch of places and felt like you were getting sold a bag of goods. We're different, and we're committed to showing you. To learn more about your options, call DebtSettlement.com and be connected with a financial resolution program that offers a no-charge and no-obligation one-on-one debt consultation. Call 800-357-3098. That's 800-357-3098. Again, 800-357-3098.
Hey everybody, this is Maggie, and you are listening to The Unsolicited Opinion. And if you want to get in on this conversation to speak with my guest Beverly Ekman today, you can call 856-227-1360. Again, that's 856-227-1360. So Bev, we left off, you started to talk about psychological testing. So explain what they're actually doing to the kids.
Well, it's a tall order, but basically they are looking for, and this is what the actual testers have said in a document called the interpretive literature, and it's very hard to get hold of. I got it from Pennsylvania, and then I went, of course, federal, but what is the child's locus of control? That means where is he coming from? Who controls him? Himself, his parents, his friends, whatever.
Okay.
Does the child willingly receive stimuli? Will the child conform to group goals? Group meaning his peers, not his parents. Is the child amenable to change? Is the child intrinsically or extrinsically motivated? Will the child respond to authority figures? And by the way, the authority figures are his peers again.
Okay.
This is what they are looking for when they test children. Do you hear anything educational there?
No, not at all. They're just looking for people who will be malleable and be able to be manipulated into doing whatever they tell them they want them to do.
That's true. That's it. And in fact, in another test, in the forward, I think, to the test, they said essential literacy skills test, and it said in the foreword, this is geared to measure the level of gullibility in children. Some knowledge may also be addressed.
that's just outrageous. Isn't it?
It's outrageous.
Yeah, it is. It's absolutely outrageous. Obviously, their focus is not making sure that children have an education and that we pass down our history and our Judeo-Christian values and that we give them a foundation so that they understand where they came from. They're not interested in any of those things.
No, they're not. And I, in my book, Cloning of the American Mind, I give all the people that contributed to this mess, and it's people that most Americans have never heard of and studied about, which tells you something right there, because really, I don't care if these people were bad guys. I mean, we study Hitler, for heaven's sakes, but why don't we study A.S. Neal, Otto Gross, Wilhelm Steckel, Kurt Lewin, Wilhelm Reich, Emma Goldman, Max Eastman, Max Horkheimer, Eric Fromm? I mean, I could go on and on. John Rawlings Reese, Brock Chisholm, Herbert Marcuse, Ewan Cameron, George Zukoc, Anatoly Lunacharsky. I mean, these are the people that did this to us.
Yeah.
These are the gurus of American education. Now, some people are more familiar with Edward Thorndike, Margaret Mead, and John Dewey, who took all these guys' viewpoints and, took their research. But never mind, you have to go back. Kids in college, especially if they're majoring in education, should know this.
Yeah, well, I don't think they do.
They don't know it.
I used to have a small business, and I had a young girl who worked for me who actually was going back to school to be she wanted to be a librarian, but she was also going to get a teaching certificate as well. And I have to say, I bet if I had asked her about these individuals, she wouldn't know anything about them. And she was going to a very expensive college.
Yeah,
very expensive college.
It. I mean, I
when after I got out of school and started actually teaching, you know, and then I realized kind of what I was looking at. It was kind of like a dog with a bone that couldn't let go, and I started really learning about this stuff, and I found out what the five basic steps to indoctrination are, exactly how they work, the new values taught in school. Listen to this. Now, this was faxed from a teacher in North Carolina. It's a 7-point list. Apparently it went out to all the other teachers, but she faxed it to me. Here are the 7 points. No right or wrong, only conditioned responses. The collective good is more important than the individual. Consensus is more important than principle. Flexibility is more important than accomplishment. Nothing is permanent except change. We've all heard that one. All ethics are situational. There are no moral absolutes. There are no perpetrators, only victims. How do you like them apples?
Yeah, well, that's all the social justice ideology
that they're
promulgating here in this country instead of having equal justice, and that there is a definite right and wrong. There is
right.
No more right and wrong.
No, there isn't. And so when you
justice.
Have an entire generation of kids brought up on this path, you are going to have big problems down the road. I mean, when we were growing up, we could play in the street. There wasn't a problem there. Kids ran in and out front doors and, you know, took a popsicle from the fridge and went on their way. Nobody worried about that. Parents didn't worry about it, certainly. You would no more do that than the man in the moon today.
No, that's so true. It's so incredible that what a drastic, drastic change in our society, like night and day, and in reality, and not a very long time. I mean, I think back to when I was a kid. Now I'm 53, but still, I mean, that's not like it was 200 years ago. It really isn't that long ago to have such a alteration in the society, and so you have to wonder, really, there had to be something occurring to create it. There was
to
a ripple taking place.
That's
it didn't
exactly
just happen on its own.
I keep harping on that. I'm really glad you said that, because I keep telling my audiences in speaking engagements that it is impossible to have that kind of a change, sea change, in that length of time without help.
Exactly. Exactly.
It can't be done.
No, because the world moves at a gradual pace. Unless you've got somebody there kicking it forward, it's going to move at a snail's pace. It's not going to be this drastic, drastic change in society and our values and our mores.
That's it, exactly. And the way in which teachers are taught, you know, they first of all, I can remember as a teacher, the parent was the enemy. I mean, parents were considered a bunch of doofuses that weren't to be paid attention to, and at best, if they had some, you know, degrees, especially degrees in behavioral science or psychology, you know, well, it's one and the same, but they call it behavioral science, but they still were too close to their kids, and therefore non-biased opinions couldn't be given, and therefore you need to get them away from those parents as fast as possible. And that's why you have the early childhood education now. It's not just to get them away from bad families or one-parent homes or illegitimacy, as we would call it back then. It's to get them away from good Christian or whatever, you know, really sensible parents. And they don't consider any parent really worth their salt because they haven't gone through the education courses or the behavioral science courses, in particular as relates to education and parenting, and therefore they are not, they're amateurs. And you need to turn these kids over to the professionals.
There you go. That's the answer, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. That's the answer.
Beverly, let's talk. Do you want to talk? You had sent me your education reform plan. Do you want to discuss that? Now, do you feel like you want to discuss that now, or would you rather talk about your Common Sense Platform for the 21st Century book? You got a choice.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I could talk about the either one right now.
Okay.
Would you rather me talk about?
Well, let's talk. Well, I wasn't sure if you wanted to go into the education reform plan, but let's hit some of the highlights of that, because you've got some answers to these problems that plague our educational system in this country. And so let's kind of go over that real quick. The first thing you said was streamlining and simplification, and you mentioned in there that what's happening today is they want to be all things to all people.
Yeah, that. Well, we're teaching too much, for one thing. I mean, in fact, we were teaching even too much back in the 60s. I mean, when you start going into home ec and all the rest, and sewing and driving and all the rest, you're getting away from the goals of schooling. We have to rethink this. We can't be all things to all people. And you have to get just three or four basic things on your plate, and I put down those things as creating a literate society capable of self-government. And the second one was ensuring financial independence for that free citizenry, because doing so helps ensure political stability too. And then enhancing the level of the general culture and reversing its present decline, and that means mandatory inclusion of things like art, music, sculpture, and philosophy, because doing so creates a natural and non-destructive outlet for creativity that kids need. That's why they're going into all this rap music and this ugliness and this hooker chic dress and everything, is because they don't have any substitutes, and they don't know Plato from Cicero from a hole in the ground. So they need to know how we got to where we are artistically, musically, and so on. And so this it helps to get these kids away from emotional overload, which is being created by all your apps on these computerized gadgets that they're buying, and it focuses their interplay, a complex interplay of their five senses, instead of it going helter-skelter. When you get to helter-skelter, you need to be, okay, think outside the box. That's all well and good, but you've got to be old enough to have the basics first. So enhancing the general level of culture is number three. And then the last one, number four, is bolstering the moral standards consistent with the founders' unique and, by the way, Judeo-Christian, basically Christian, but Judeo-Christian, concepts about democracy, which is life, pursuit of happiness, national sovereignty, property rights, and free speech. Those are the four. That's it. Anything else you do should be paid for in excess, with additional tuition, by parents. And you just need those four things take up your entire day.
Oh, yeah, I would say so, definitely. Let's talk about the second one, early diagnostics and placing in it, replacement and revamping teacher education.
Oh, yeah. Okay, teacher education is predicated, as I said, on the National Education Association and the Carnegie Foundation for the Advancement of the Teaching, which really is dragging in all this UN stuff.
Okay.
But here's the deal. Kids going into the field of teaching should be majoring in a subject per se. That is your minor, not your major. Here is your majors, the choice of majors: spatial and abstract reasoning, identification, visual and auditory memory, perceptual speed, mental stamina, which is another way of saying concentration,
okay,
hand-eye coordination, and thought expression synchronization. Now, what that means, for those who don't know, thought expression synchronization, the French actually started work, a real research work on it. It's when a person is talking and loses their train of thought because they're thinking so fast that they're halfway down the road and their mind is back in the driveway. And that can be addressed. Now, every single subject, I don't care if it's math, I don't care if it's science, I don't care if it's English, I don't care if it's literature, I don't care what it is. You can make your curriculum go around spatial and abstract reasoning, visual identification, this, that, and the other, because you would just write your specs a little bit differently. You would teach it a little bit differently. So the child that is diagnosed with, say, spatial or abstract reasoning problems would be taught English and math and reading and whatever differently
okay.
than the kid who already has it. Everybody, you, me, everybody, has a weakness in one of the nine things I just named. Unless your IQ is just flat off the charts.
Sure.
Now,
sure.
Here's what happens. Here's how this works. Say the child believes that one-fourth is bigger than one-half because four is bigger than two.
Okay.
That is a spatial and abstract reasoning problem. You've got it right there in front of you. So you address that first. If you don't, by fifth grade, he's going to crash in math. He will not get it, and he is going to throw up his hands in frustration. Same with visual identification or auditory memory, a deficit in auditory memory or visual memory. Okay.
Okay.
Auditory memory is your phonics, for example. And also we used to get, and you may remember this too, when one of the things that our English teacher or reading teacher did was to read out loud and make us handwrite it down. Well, kids don't do that anymore. But that's how they figured out whether we had an auditory memory problem. The kid that does not get this, by the time he's in college and trying to take notes, he's done.
Okay.
He can't take notes because he has no auditory memory.
Okay.
Now, you can correct these things at the get-go, but you've got to start in first and second and third grade, because if you don't, it's like mental stamina. Then you're going to have the signs of, like, ADHD. There's no such thing, really, but you know what it looks like from, you know, just a common standpoint. The kid who can't concentrate and is off in a million directions and can't sit still, basically, he has no mental stamina to focus on one subject. He has to be taught how to do it. And that means, Johnny, sit down, you raise your hand, you do, you know, he needs lots of structure. The kid that is very creative maybe doesn't need so much structure. He's already got mental stamina. So you don't give him mental stamina. You give him visual identification or auditory memory. You hammer in on that while you're teaching geography. You can
okay.
do this because I did it.
Well, one of the things I noticed, and there's several here, and we don't have a ton of time left. One of the things you mentioned, and this is the fifth concept, which is emphasizing the individual over the group, and you
yeah.
have dumped the groupy approach to learning.
Oh, yeah. You cannot have groupy approaches to everything. It's fine when you hit college. Yeah, team playing, yeah. I mean, you can't insult your colleagues and, you know, take all the credit for everything and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And thinking outside the box, same thing. You have to have some method of being an independent thinker, and that's all team player, but you also have to be an independent thinker. And that is learned in grade school. So you cannot do group team teaching down in first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh grade. You've got to focus on the individual. And that means that you stand in front of the room, and when you have a question about something, you say, Sam, can you tell me, you know, the dates of the Civil War or whatever?
Right.
And you call on this kid, and he isn't expecting it. Don't wait for the hand to go up. You just call on him, and that sends the message that, hey, I'm not interested in what the kid sitting next to thinks. I want to know what you think.
Well, it seems today, from everything that I hear, now I've been in school in years, but it certainly seems today from everything you hear and read, that what they're interested in is how does everybody feel about something. Not
oh,
whether
yeah.
or not they can add one and one and get two, but do you feel okay today, Janie?
Well, it's worse than that. It's how do you feel about math? Or they give you a word problem instead of focusing on the answer to the word problem or even how you arrived at the answer. They say, well, how do you feel about, they're giving you, there's a political thing that's kind of woven into every word problem in math. That's even worse.
Yeah, it's just, it's insane. It's just absolute nonsense. And when you start to hear about these things, like my background is in education, Beverly, and I had no idea all these different things were going on. And then I decided I was going to run for school board, and I started to really investigate why. I mean, I knew something was amiss when I'd go to a cashier, and they struggled to be able to make change. If you gave them an amount different than what the cash register said that it should be, and they just struggled. They just couldn't, you know, they couldn't figure out.
They couldn't get it.
And it made no difference.
McDonald's, I mean, when you order a quarter pounder, they have to hit quarter pounder on the cash register. They cannot figure out, oh, that's a hamburger with cheese, and so I add 10 cents for the cheese, and, you know, That's beyond them.
It is. It's incredible. And it's really sad when you think about it, though. I mean, it's so sad what has been done to the people, the greatest nation on the earth and the greatest amount of opportunity out there for people, and the amount of money that is dumped into our educational system in this country, and they keep asking for more, for the kids. It's for the kids.
It's for the desks that they vandalized. It's for the lockers they vandalized. It's for the, you know, playgrounds and library access in them. And, you know, it's one thing after another. And the thing is, you can fix. I'm not a fan of public education. I think it all should be privatized. But you could technically fix private schooling if you did it the way I just, you know, I said a few minutes ago. You could do it. And if you want to still emphasize the team nature of things, people have to work together, you don't have to just do it in force. Just make uniforms. Frankly, I'm a fan of uniforms now. I didn't used to be. But if they're going to come to school in spike-high heels with torn jeans, tight jeans, and, you know, their you-know-what's hanging out and everything, then you need to go back to uniforms. And you know what? Every school could have its own uniform to build team spirit, and it's not a bad idea because then, you know, everybody kind of has a pride about their school and their city, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, they had it for football. They don't have all come wearing different colors to their games.
Right, right.
So this can be done. This is doable.
Yeah, it's not totally broken that it can't be fixed.
Right.
You know, it's a sad situation. I wish there were more people out there like you who are pushing these reforms and these changes, Beverly. I wish there were more people who were out there hammering.
Actually, there are
the
state
drum.
People. There are state people who have asked me to send them this, education reform concept paper, and they have tried without, of course, success, because what it is there's too many vested interests in this rubbish. I mean, sex education, well, Planned Parenthood and the Sex Education Council and Information Council of the United States, they have a vested interest in this rubbish. I mean, there's a lot of organizations, most of them very lefty, that have a vested interest. And you suddenly take that money away, and, of course, all the alarm bells go off.
Sure,
but if
sure.
you want to appeal to average parents and have them supporting you, which eventually you do need, every governor does need the public's enrollator, they would try to, you know, move away from these lefty organizations and pleasing the people who are sending their kids there.
Well, you know, my nephew, I always ask him how his daughter's doing in school, and he said, oh, well, you know, she's got on the honor roll. And every time, I didn't have the heart, and I said this before to other guests I've had on the air, Beverly, but I never had the heart to say to them, listen, every kid is on the honor roll nowadays.
Oh,
all they had to do was
bring a pencil.
yeah, exactly. It doesn't mean what it meant when you and I went
no.
to school. It means nothing today.
It means nothing, absolutely nothing. In fact, their grades mean nothing. I mean, you might get into these colleges of one kind or another on the strength of their parents' money and or political beliefs, but you try, when once they have their oral exam, and this is after the written and the other SATs and all that's looked at, but eventually to get into a top college, especially if it's not a state school of your, you know, the state you're in,
then you have to have what they call oral. And that means you sit in there and they ask you questions, the administrators. And the minute you say something that comes out of your mouth that doesn't sound like leftist ideology, you know, what do you think about recycling type of thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Aren't you for that? And, yeah, the climate change, isn't it awful? And unless you say yes to that, unless you have a litmus test of all the questions you're going to agree with them on or disagree with, specifically, then, or if you sound like you're a Christian or anything like that, you're going to get a letter in the mail that says something like this. Gee, you're a swell kid. We really enjoyed talking to you. And gosh, your grades, your SAT scores and everything just look fabulous. You've got a bright future ahead of you. But after talking among ourselves, we think you'll be happier somewhere else.
Yeah.
You tell me, how are you going to argue with that? You can't even sue them.
No, you can't do anything about that. Listen, we've only got a couple more minutes, Beverly, but talk briefly, if you could, your common sense platform for the 21st century. I don't have a ton of time, but give me a synopsis of what that's about. What made you decide to write that, besides we need some common sense, and we certainly need something to go off of here in the 21st century?
Well, basically, I was commissioned to write it.
Oh, okay.
And by a Tea Party person that wasn't all that happy with even what was going on there, but I didn't want to do it. I wasn't for it. And then I read in the Washington Post, it said, and I quote, "Few in the Tea Party movement agree on a legislative agenda beyond merely downsizing government." And I thought, what? So I started examining all the other platforms that had been written up to this point. And I didn't care if it was Democrat, Republican, Socialist, Green, Libertarian, or whatever. I read them all. And there weren't, to my shock, there was nothing that would, A, pass legal muster, and nothing that had any depth to it.
Okay.
And so I thought, this is crazy. And then I started reading Thomas Paine's Common Sense and Thomas Jefferson's List of Usurpations and Abuses by Government, and he was talking about King George at that time.
Okay.
And I went, you know what? That's the way I need to craft this. So I laid out, first of all, what all the abuses and usurpations were by government that exist today,
okay,
education included. And then I started looking not just at the Tea Party, but to all constitutionally minded Americans and all the various fed up others who are sick and tired of party politics as usual. And then I drew a line in the sand and I started saying, okay, how do we address every one of these usurpations and abuses by government? And that's my platform.
Okay. Where can they get the book, Beverly? At your website, Beverly?
It's on my website under my signature. There's two places to click on, but Amazon has it. A lot of different bookstores have it at this point in time. But if you want it fast, just go down under my signature on the website or just on the home page of the website, and you can just click on a link. And you can go right to it takes you to Amazon, or it takes you to the publisher, Midnight Whistler. .com.
Okay, and that's Beverly E as in Ekman .com is your website. Okay,
that's correct.
Well,
I forgot a bunch. By the way, there's plenty of reviews on the site too.
Well, listen,
there's more all the time.
Listen, Beverly, all people need to do is listen to you once you open your mouth, and they know that what you have to say is worth not only hearing, but it's also worth reading. So I'm sure that listening to you for this last hour convinced a lot of people hearing this show that what you have to say, and maybe they ought to go buy your book, The Common Sense Platform for the 21st Century, because we certainly need common sense in this country. We need all
you
the help we can get.
Just as a last laugh that everybody will enjoy, when I walked into my ed psych course, educational psychology, my first one in college, the first thing the professor did when he walked into the room was to say, "The first thing you kids need to know is there's no such thing as common sense."
Okay, there you go. That's perfect.
That's the title of this
love this common sense. I thought you'd like that.
Yeah, I do like that. Thanks so much, Beverly, for coming on again. I really appreciate it. Beverly Ekman, you can find her book, Common Sense Platform for the 21st Century, on beverlye.com, podcast on my website, theunsolicitedopinion.com, as well as a link to her website. Listen, everybody, you know, I love to go to Oz. Somewhere Over the Rainbow is a wonderful place to be. Keep your chin up. Better days are coming. There are more of us than there are of them. So hang in there, everybody, and listen next week when I'm back. Take care.
She says she now, Dorothy, dear, stop imagining things. You always get yourself into a fret over nothing. Now, you just help us out today and find yourself a place where you won't get into any trouble.
Some place where there isn't any trouble. Do you suppose there is such a place, Toto? There must be. It's not a place you can get to by a boat or a train. It's far, far away. Behind the moon, beyond the rain.
I heard.